You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
All right, so Billy very mischievously, Billy was very excited whispering to us, oh, I got somebody. I got someone on Radio Row. We got somebody. We got our guest booker extraordinaire, Billy Gill. Track someone down.
It appears to be the only person on Radio Row.
Well, this is part of the problem, yes. His name is Jaron May. We were talking about the empty, sad amphitheater that he is sitting in. I think I described the picture well, but Jaron, thank you for joining us, and we'll see if we take a tour with you, because we're outsiders now. The Syracuse student station evidently is more welcome at the Super Bowl than what used to be a pretty important radio show that is now on the outside, knocking on the glass door saying, please let us in, Jaron, please let us in.
I think we're all welcome. Jaron's the only one that went. I think that's the problem.
All right, so he's there in the sad amphitheater. Go ahead, Jaron, and explain. Is this the height of your dreams, or is this, wait a minute, I thought this was going to be a big deal. I'm covering the Super Bowl. I'm in college. This should be the height of the profession. Why am I profoundly sad? What have I done with my life?
Well, that's a good point. Well, here's the thing. I'm sitting in an empty room. We have these plexiglass kind of 4 tables set up, spread out probably 20 feet between every single 4 table set up. And there's probably about, I would say, 40 of these setups, and not even half of them are actually have people sitting at them. So you can be at your station, which my station is right over there. My guys are actually live on the radio right now at WJPZ up in Syracuse. And I just walked over to another station because no one is here. So super quiet, not what I was expecting. However, like you said, I'm a student. I'm going to take any opportunity that I have. Syracuse University was very nice enough to be able to give this opportunity to 5 students, including myself. Newhouse Sports really helped us with everything. So, I mean, you don't say no to that. If they're going to send you down there, any experience is better than no experience. And as a junior, hopefully I'll be able to go back next year, which would be in SoFi out in California, and get a real experience.
Well, that is well said, but when you say any experience is better than no experience, I'm feeling like what you're having out there right now is no experience. Is there anybody who's being brought to you, or are you just sitting at a table? Are you being brought any guests? Are you guys just sitting at what feels like a banquet room table and just doing radio, saying, we're here at Radio Row and no one else is here at Radio Row, and 20 tables from here, someone can hear my echo on Radio Row?
Yeah, so we had one live guest yesterday, none on Monday. We have 2 for today. John Ledyard of the Pewter Report, Bucks beat writer, joined us just now.
You could have stayed in Syracuse and gotten him, I swear.
Chris, it is not cool to laugh at his guest list. And he was just saying, hey, we got a guest today. We got a guest. And you, Chris, laughed at his face.
It's a who's who. It's a who's who, I guess.
Well, who else did you get?
Okay, who was the second guy you got?
I got a couple others. Randy Grimes, former Bucks player.
Of course. Yeah, the grimer.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Appreciate it. Chris has now fallen off of his chair.
It's so wrong. Jaron, you're out here hustling. You're trying to do your job. All Chris did was, he was born.
That's right.
You've done actual work at this. Don't let him make fun of you falling out of the screen because he doesn't like that your lead guest was some Bucks writer.
and That's Grimes.
True. No, I mean, fair enough. And then the big thing for us is we tried to get, and Syracuse was super helpful, and the alumni with Syracuse are fantastic. But we did a lot of interviews via Zoom that, to your point, could have been done at Syracuse. They were not needed to be done here. So we talked to John Jastrzemski.
Mello?
We did not get Mello. We're working on Arthur Jones, maybe Chandler Jones as well, a couple of former players. And then Andrew Siciliano, Adam Schein, Damon Amendolara. So we are getting some good guests, but it's all via Zoom.
They're just not there.
Jared, do not let them bring you down. What you're doing is great, and while you think you may not need to be there, Whittingham pointed out earlier, there's that buzz. It might be just the light bulbs and what it is that causes that buzz, but there's that buzz. And when people hear that buzz behind you while you're interviewing these people, it doesn't matter because everybody knows you're at Radio Row. And where are we? Not at Radio Row.
That's right.
So right there, you're already a leg up on us.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's nothing normal. It's not the true NFL Super Bowl experience. But again, I'm going to take anything if I can.
Is there food? Is there, like, is anyone
ready? Set us up.
Do they have a slider that was smaller than my palm.
you are good. You are learning, young fella, what it is to be in the media. Immediately start complaining about the free food. They are teaching them correctly at Syracuse. Thank you. Thank you for being on with us, Jared. We appreciate you being a good sport about the nonsense there. I'm sorry your first experience with the Super Bowl is such a sad one.
If anyone walks through that's famous, you want to book him for this show, feel free, okay?
I got Billy's number now. Okay, I'll give him a call.
Jaron, the things behind you right now in that sad amphitheater, how many hundreds of yards or miles away from you is the closest thing that you're talking? I can't see anything except the wall many yards behind
around.
You.
Yeah,
you're
going to
spin us around?
Let me give you a full 360.
All right. Excellent. Give
us. This is, okay. Oh, that's the full.
Oh, my God. Is that sad?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's pretty empty.
He could shout right now and nobody would hear him.
No one. There's a radio guy right there. I would not get on their airwaves.
Do it. Shout. Just shout.
Can you shout the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz totally rules? Rules Radio Row or something cooler than that.
Just scream and ask cool for any that. Of this.
Yes, I didn't
scream
ask
about Lincoln Kennedy.
That's
just
much
pretend
better.
Your internet crashed.
My goodness. No, I mean, yeah, it is empty. Today specifically, I think maybe 15 radio stations are here. So.
All right, Jaron, thank you for making us feel a small part of your sadness, making us a little happier because we've been totally excluded from your non-experience that you're gathering there in college of not interviewing people.
Yeah, no, I mean, thank you for having me on. Hopefully next year is better, though.
What do we have to tell people about where it is that you work so that they can find you for being a good sport? What is it that you need to promote here?
So WJPZ, Z89 at Syracuse University, Citrus TV as well. We're creating content. And, of course, Newhouse Sports, the entire department at Newhouse and Syracuse University, greatly helped us to be able to get here, and we appreciate all of their help. And if you want to go give me a follow, Jaron_May on Twitter.
There, nice.
Oh, boy. You going to FHM tonight?
Hey, it's Mike Ryan, and I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Billy, do you feel like it's more like Super Bowl week now? I heard you lamenting earlier that it doesn't feel anything like Super Bowl week. You also had a great question, Billy. It was a question I thought nobody was asking. I believe that the entire media is gathered in Tampa for the first time that the Tampa Bay Bucks are a team that is playing in a Super Bowl in their home city. It has never happened before. And Billy had a question about the hotel rooms that I don't believe anyone else was asking.
Ah, yes. What happens to all the hotel rooms the Bucks were supposed to use? Because I'm a little bit worried about the hotel staff who are probably missing out on a ton of tips, right? Do they get a refund? Who books those? Is it the league? Who handles that? Right? Because each team is not booking hotels in Tampa saying, hey, we're going to make it to the Super Bowl. So it's the league, right? Is there a cancellation policy?
There's a lot of questions.
They get a refund? I mean, the real question is what happens to those hotel rooms?
Right. The rare Super Bowl where one of the teams doesn't need a hotel. I mean,
the only time it's ever happened. And Billy brought up a good point, I thought, except that during a pandemic, I don't even know how coveted a ticket this is. How many people are allowed? It's Florida. I don't know any of the details about what it is that I'm asking. I'm asking more questions than Billy here.
I think I saw that there's 20,000 fans and 30,000 cutouts.
I thought they were giving, the NFL was giving tickets away to nurses, doctors, people who've been dealing with this pandemic. I thought those were the only fans allowed in the building for the game, which is a very nice thing by the NFL.
There are tickets available to the general public on StubHub right now. The get in the door price is $4,762 to get into the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay. That sounds.
That's down. I heard 12,000 last week.
Ooh.
Billy made an excellent point in that last segment.
Thanks, guys. This is a great segment for me.
Billy made an excellent point.
Good points.
That you can hear Radio Row. That the listener in their car listening to their favorite sports talk AM radio station locally is familiar with the hum. He doesn't even need to hear a promo or a guy's talking about the game to know that they're at Radio Row. And that hum is certainly what this show is missing this week. So, ladies and gentlemen, I provide you the hum.
Okay.
Proceed. Now it's Radio Row.
All right. Well, Billy, you did make a good point, though, when you said, I don't know if the buzz around Radio Row is buzz or if it's simply because one of the light bulbs in a cavernous room that feels like something out of The Shining, one of the light bulbs is beginning to flicker and hum, because that is what it felt like. The whole thing felt profoundly sad. That kid was a good sport about it, but that sound, can you imagine? You've tried to arrive at the point in your life where you're covering the Super Bowl, paid for by someone else. That's dream comes true stuff, Stugatz. That's when you were a young broadcaster coming up. Somebody's going to pay for you to go to the Super Bowl.
Yep, you're in college, Syracuse, new house. I mean, everything's looking great.
And now look at you. This is hurting my ears. Is anyone else feeling like their face hurts because of this sound? This is not the hum. This sounds...
feels like home.
This is not what Radio Row's hum feels like. I feel like you're grabbing me by the throat and shaking me with a single hand.
I mean, it's usually a little bit more subtle than this, but I'm amplifying so you know that the hum will always be there for you, Dan.
It feels like it's going to pull me away.
It's one of those things that results in you pooping yourself because it hits a note that you don't know about, Dan.
The poop note.
Yeah.
I think Stugatz is right. It's the feeling of being pulled away. It feels like a magnetic force is pulling us away from doing radio well. I can almost see it from here, but I'm being dragged in the other direction, far away from where radio is done well. Does this hurt anyone else's neck?
I feel like
neck?
My brain's getting cancer with this sound.
What are you going for there, Mike? Were you going?
Radio Row.
Radio Row is undulating sadness. Never more so than this year. How is it possible that Radio Row, bustling epicenter of ass crack, I've told you before, it's one of the saddest places per square foot I've ever been in my life, with activity. How is it possible that we just checked in on a Radio Row sadder than the one that made me basically protest every year that we had to be anywhere around it? We've gone to how many? Three of these? We went to Detroit, Jacksonville to play the corporate game, and to do the thing where you talk up the big game. We went to three of these total, one of them in Miami.
We didn't go to Detroit. Yeah, I mean, our show. You would.
I was a listener. You refused to go to Detroit.
He said he wouldn't go to Detroit if we paid him $1 billion.
Yeah. So you didn't go to Detroit. You did go to Jacksonville. Good on you. You took Detroit off. I believe the next one in the cycle might have been Miami, and you actually went to that Radio Row. That was my first and only Radio Row. So I can back you up when you say the world's epicenter of ass crack, because my first experience with it was just looking directly into the late Ralphie May's asshole for about 12 straight hours as he sat in for an entire block of sports talk radio with a Baltimore affiliate.
Hold on. I need to hear more about this.
More about the late Ralphie May's asshole.
That is Radio Row.
Yes.
I mean, it is
Radio Row, yes, in every way, but I need, it's not, it was it his whole ass or was it just his asshole?
Hmm. His ass crack seemed to extend forever.
Okay, but that was true whether or not he was bent over, right?
He wasn't bent over. That was the most fascinating part about it. It was almost as if his ass crack began at his shoulder blades. Rest in peace.
Wait a minute. Yeah, it's too soon. It's too soon.
Rest in power. That's Ralphie sentence. May.
No, not all of that. You can't. So you're saying it's almost as if, I put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Was it almost as if Ralphie May's ass crack started at his shoulder blades?
You shouldn't put that on the poll.
Why not? Because he's dead?
Yeah, because he's dead.
Now decorum. Now decorum is what you're shooting
rest
for.
Rest in power. What more do you want?
All right, God then, rest his soul.
All right, then put rest in power on the Twitter poll. See if it makes it any better. And you're only protecting him now because he's dead. You didn't mind making fun of the fat man when he was alive, but all of a sudden he dies, and now he can't have an ass crack that starts at his shoulder
blade.
Well,
whose ass crack were you thinking about? Because I thought we were thinking of the same asshole.
I never saw Ralphie May's asshole.
Really? You couldn't miss it.
I never
missed
saw
out.
It.
It was easier to find than the NFL Network set.
I find it hard to believe that his asshole was easy to find. I'm just going to argue on behalf of the merits of it being well hidden.
No, but, I mean, there was a straight line to it. You could piece it together.
Anyone want to help me here? Oh, come on.
That's Radio Road,
That's
dude.
What it sounds like at the center of Ralphie May's asshole.
How do you hate this? I love it. Stugatz loves it.
I love
where
it.
Where the movers and shakers are.
Oh,
where you want to
God,
be.
God, I miss it so badly. We had so much fun last year.
The hum of Radio Row is the static of an ISDN line as two people have a conversation 20 feet away from a microphone.
Yeah, lots of chatter in the background.
Ooh, I think I can find us some ambient chatter. Hang on. Let's see if that hits the note. But in the meantime...
I think I'm with Chris.
He's
Cody.
Really capturing it.
Chris Cody, I believe that we have arrived in a place where Chris Cody is absolutely right when he applies his cynicism to major greed, major commerce, the idea that the Super Bowl is weird this year, they're not going to be able to profit. All of this is going to be a little bit odd, having this spectacle of the Super Bowl. I don't know how the NFL is going to make it feel as big as it always does. They do big better than anybody does, but this is going to feel weird and hollowed out. That feels more like Radio
thank
Row.
Thank you, Mike.
Here,
that
feels a little bit more like Radio
I'm thinking
Row.
Brady and Mahomes just being there kind of takes care of that.
Well, this is the thing that Chris was saying, though. You say that, and Chris says that the NFL is not even going to test Brady and Mahomes this week for COVID, and if by some chance they do get COVID, they're going to lie about it. They're going to deny it. They're going to just make sure that there is not a circumstance. It can't be Brady against Henny, man. It can't. It just can't be.
I can't even.
The Super Bowl cannot be Brady against Henny. They will absolutely do anything to get those two guys out there.
It's a great take by Chris. I can't even name Brady's backup. I don't even know.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Put it on the poll, Guillermo.
Not terrible.
At Levitard Show, can you name Tampa Bay's backup quarterback?
Gabbert and Henny.
That's right. Chris, you're so right about that. There's simply no way those guys can test positive. Neither one of them. You ruined the sport.
They're all supposed to get emails on when they're get tested, and Mahomes and Brady just didn't get their emails. I don't know what happened.
I think they're going to test Gabbert and Henny and have them become positive on purpose so Brady and Mahomes never come out. Now, how about that for a Super Bowl take?
This right here is absolutely, this right here is in the movie, the guy who falls to his knee because the alien is making some sort of sound that makes him put his hand to the side of his face because his face is spasming and hurt, and it hurts, and this sound hurts. It hurts. So for one rollicking day last week, this show suddenly became inexplicably, after 20 years of not doing it, a business show. And we became promptly good friends with Joe Weisenthal. He's the co-host of the Odd Lots podcast, What'd You Miss, on Bloomberg TV. And he's here to teach us business things. We are not a business savvy show, even though some of us around here pretend to be. One of us in particular has been very strong over the course of the last week, arguing on behalf of AMC and GameStop.
Hey, green on the day, boys. Green on the day. The squeeze is coming.
We're
Trust
back.
Me. The squeeze is coming.
He's back.
So here is Joe.
So far, the only thing being squeezed are my balls, Joe.
Oh, my
Where
God.
Were you last week? I've lost
you
my
know,
ass.
You know, I was thinking back to what I said, and I think it holds up pretty well. I said, I can't fault anyone for wanting to play the game, but probably not wise to put life-changing amounts of money in. And now that it's crashed, you know, I think I said the responsible thing. So I don't feel any shame a week later about how this all turned out.
What am I supposed to do with 1,200 shares of Nokia? Tell me what. There's an earnings report I heard.
It's funny how much a difference a week makes, because then suddenly everyone remembers, here's an old cell phone flip company, here's a movie theater chain where most of no one's going to movies, and here's literally a store that sells physical video games. That wasn't quite the vibe last week, was it?
Did you end up finding any of the details on that Blockbuster stock that was still around? Like, did anyone give you?
I tried. So, like, I mean, as I mentioned, there is this like weird ticker that's out there that does seem to represent the whatever weird holding company is still liquidating Blockbuster assets. I tried. I spent about 3 minutes Googling, and I couldn't find anything. Every time I put in the ticker, various names of it, all I found was references to the ticker itself. I don't know if there's some company out there that still exists, someone maybe in Delaware or the Cayman Islands technically having the right to Blockbuster's liquidation. I could find nothing. Maybe I'll try again. I'll report back if I ever discover anything.
Joe, it seems like a month ago, Robinhood had a squeaky, clean reputation.
Robinhood, excuse me.
And here we are just, you know, a couple of weeks later, and they don't. So what's going to happen here with Robinhood, with their CEO? How much trouble are they in?
I mean, I don't think they're in, like, trouble per se. There's going to be hearings in D.C., and those hearings aren't going to go anywhere. I don't think there's really going to be any legislation. I don't know. The reputation hit isn't great, but I do think we're sort of at this moment where Robinhood and Silicon Valley and all these sort of West Coast mindset, we're like, we're going to disrupt everything. Democratize finance, whatever this means. Like, there are rules when you're holding people's money. Like, people who have money in an app or they sort of have some expectations about the safety of the company. And I don't think Silicon Valley is used to that idea. You know, they're used to just like apps that share and there's like no real responsibility. When you're holding people's money, there are rules and there's no amount of like Silicon Valley gloss or growth hacking that can get around them. And they suddenly realized that there was kind of a limit to what they could offer.
Robinhood is releasing a Super Bowl ad. So in real terms, what kind of damage did they do to their brand?
I mean, I think it's real brand damage, but what else? You know, I think they'll be okay. There's like, these companies always get into trouble. How many times in the last 10 years did Facebook have some scandal? It's like, everyone's deleting Facebook, hashtag delete Facebook. It never happens. Hashtag delete Uber. It never happened. I think they will be okay. But I do think that, like, you know, it was sort of a wake-up call for them that there are limits. And they're, you know, they put out this thing kind of blaming the architecture of how trading works. We can get into it or not. But in the end, like, they didn't have enough capital on hand to meet the rules. And the system worked because they didn't collapse.
And it's a lot better for all their clients that they didn't, and that these, you know, these curbs actually went into play.
But what do you make of the morality of specifically, first of all, the irony, taking from the rich and giving to the poor? They were doing the opposite by rule in a way that felt unethical, felt immoral, felt actually kind of illegal, but I guess isn't illegal?
No, I don't think it was. Look, I mean, you know, the way to think about it is basically Robin Hood's bankers. It gets more technical, but the way to think about it is like, Robin Hood's bankers were like, your clients are doing some crazy stuff. They're buying GameStop shares at $400 a share. This probably should be a $20 stock. And due to these formulas, like, you need to have more cash, and they didn't have it. So you either get the cash right then, which they had to raise or borrow, or curb trading, and they kind of did some of both. I get why people don't like it. I mean, on the other hand, no one wants to hear it, but probably a lot of people saved a lot of money because the system prevented them from buying GameStop at $400 a share, which was really fun last week. And we were talking about it, and we were having a good time, and it was a really fun story. But then it was not a great investment, and a lot of people were probably saved from making a terrible investment.
I made that one because I invested somewhere else, like an adult, by the way. And Mark Cuban did an AMA, and he said that I should hold because it's not a loss if I don't actually sell. So I'm going to do that, and this should come up, right? GameStop should come up. There was a little bit of a squeeze yesterday, Joe. It shot up to 127, and we're like, here we go. Hold Diamond Hands.
I think it's up a little bit today. I'm just going to say one thing and about that Mark Cuban advice. And Mark Cuban made one of the great sales of all time because he sold Broadcast.com to Yahoo in 1999. And as soon as that deal closed, more or less, he went out and bought a hedge so that the price could – he spent to basically take the risk off the table. At the time, there was like a massive bubble, and probably a lot of people thought everything was going a lot higher. And Mark Cuban in 1999 had the wherewithal to take his chips off the table when everyone else was buying. So I'm just going to say sometimes it pays not to have the diamond hands. Sometimes it pays to sell.
Can you tell us a little more that we don't understand, perhaps, about what just happened yesterday with Amazon and Bezos? What did you think was interesting there, or was there anything to you? Was it as surprising to you as it seemed to be to a lot of people?
Yeah, I certainly did not expect that to happen. I didn't see it coming at all. But, like, you know, Amazon's been around like a quarter of a century now. That is a long time in any job. 25 years or however long it is. It was founded in the mid 90s. It's a long time to be a CEO. I think, like with most of these big tech companies, we're so used to associating the CEO with the company. We don't, like, you know, I don't know who the CEO of, like, say, Alcoa is, which makes aluminum, or the CEO of like Dow Chemical is, or any other company. With these tech companies, they're so tied with their founder and CEO that we're not used to the idea of like an Amazon where he's not running it. But hey, he kind of still will be because he'll be the executive chairman. And so the new CEO will have him as a boss. I'm sure it's mostly about him getting to focus on the fun stuff and not having to deal with, like, say, getting called up to a hearing at some point in 2021 because people in Congress want to, like, have an antitrust hearing. There's a lot of probably annoying aspects of the CEO job that he has deserved a break from that.
I would assume that a lot of people would jump to the conclusion, because he is interchanging that top spot on Wealthiest Man in the World with Elon Musk, that they would assume, well, what's the scandal? Is it because of the unionizing in his warehouses? Is it because there was the stealing money from drivers that they did over a couple of years? Because of the damage that they're doing to the environment, even as he pours money into trying to save the environment?
I'll say two things. I mean, I'm sure dealing with all of these scandals and investigations is not very fun. So that's one thing. It's interesting you mentioned Musk, because they both had their own private space companies on the side. So Musk has SpaceX, Bezos has Blue Origin. And I only sort of realized this because I was reading some of our own coverage today. Bezos started his own private space operation 2 years before Musk did, but it's way behind. Blue Origin is not where SpaceX is in terms of technology, products, profitability. Bezos has been pouring about $1 billion a year of his own money into it. So when you talk about that rivalry with Musk, who's now the richest guy in the world, you got to wonder if part of it is just he wants to spend more time with his rockets.
Is it a real rivalry?
I think it kind of is. I mean, yeah, I think there's a handful of players in this private space race. And SpaceX has done phenomenally well. And I don't think Blue Origin, you know, which should have had the head start, has done as well. And I'm sure, look, these guys are just, you know, insanely hyper competitive. And Amazon won. I mean, it's just, there's never been anything with its dominance that we could think of. It's making insane amounts of cash. Maybe there's a sense in which he wants to win in this other area where his company is a little bit behind.
As a business guy, someone who cares about this stuff, can you tell us what you find most interesting about the Amazon story?
It's interesting. The new CEO is obviously coming out of the AWS, which is their cloud computing thing. And what I like, you know, what's so amazing about that whole operation isn't just this idea that, okay, they made it so that anyone can get access to servers and computers and stuff, et cetera, which is now how all businesses operate. But they basically invented this idea of taking one of their own cost areas and turn it into a business. So like servers, computers, computing costs, this was a major source of Amazon's own cost. Its own spending was on its own servers. And they're like, well, we're spending all this money. Why don't we just get other people to pay for it as well? And so it is kind of like a business revolution, this idea of finding an area that costs you a lot of money, building it out, and then actually turning it into a profit center. And that thing just throws off an insane amount of cash this year. I think it's going to do just the computer, the cloud computing is going to do like $50 billion annual run rate. I mean, it's just unreal. And so not surprising that the guy who's run that business for a long time is the new CEO.
Stugat is saying, though, and has been saying and taking victory laps for a long time about Elon Musk is a fraud. He's a fraud. All he does, just another rocket blew up yesterday. This happens a lot. Yeah. And now he's a fraud, according to Stugat's
piece. Make a rocket that works. I mean, get me a car. You know, I order a car, have it delivered to my driveway on time. How about that,
but
Musk?
Now he's the richest man in the world, Elon Musk is. So is Stugat's right? Does he get to be right about this?
Well, I would never go on record with calling anyone a fraud for obvious reasons. But I will say, like, in general, there is probably a thinner line between being an amazing, amazing salesman and a fraud. And you could imagine a scenario. I mean, like a couple of years ago, things were looking pretty rough for them. They were low on cash. There was a report they tried to sell. There a lot of people thought they were going bankrupt. Had they gone bankrupt, or had they run out of money or been forced to sell in some fire sale, then the reputation would have been, oh, Elon, he was a fraud all this time. They pulled through, and now, you know, sales seem to be going pretty well. And so right. It was like, oh, he's a genius. Yeah. So I will say, you know, like, I will say there are probably many stories in American business life in which some small thing going one way or the other way is the determinant of whether someone ends up being characterized as a fraud.
Just like sports. It's just like
sports. It really
is. Stugat, you were so close to being right.
No, I was right, because I'm still waiting for him to deliver on this super tunnel from Orlando to Miami that gets me there in 13 minutes. And that hasn't happened yet. You know?
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, he's a fraud. That's why.
All right. But he's the richest man in the world. Joe, thank you for being on with
thank
us.
You.
We appreciate it. We will just check in with you from time to time to talk about the uber rich. We will do that. Yes, thank you.
Take care.
See you,
hey, it's Mike Ryan, and I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.